Good morning, everyone. Going up the agenda. Oh, we have 15 people. I think. And it's 1 minute past the hour, so let's go ahead and get started. Is Linda here?
I can pick up the attendance if you want.
Okay, thanks, Sharon. Okay. I'm just going through the agenda. Last week, people gave some really good suggestions of what we wanted to cover in the future and the week before too. And we're working on adding some of those to future meetings. And if anyone has anything else they can think of, please let us know now or send us a message in Slack and we can have. WolfCon 25 is coming up in about 4 weeks, I think, now that I think soon. And we have there are a number of reporting SIG sessions there, including a pre-conference workshop that Sharon and I are leading, and also another overview of reporting in general in Folio that's 50 minutes long, so it's a very quick overview. And Sharon, did you have anything you wanted to add for the new fields and features this week, or if anyone knows of anything
Well,
new?
I don't have anything on the page. I'm sorry. We just talked about donor field changes, and the budget table has new credits field that you should look at. With this is we're just we've just started looking at Ramsen's fields, and Joanne also discovered instance date.
Date type.
Date type,
Instance
thank you. And interestingly, we have the instance subject source and type has come in great tables, but because they were created without primary keys, they're causing problems with data import. So if you start to see data import issues and you're running MetaDB, feel free to reach out to me so we can add your experience to the we have a ticket with the data import folks, developers to create primary keys on those tables so that they don't cause a replica error with MetaDB during resynchronization. And it just it has to be fixed. So there is a ticket in for that. Let's see other things. Joanne, can you think of anything else that we missed?
Well,
Just instance.
I mean, I saw there was some new tables in the circulation schema that for us at least, it didn't matter. It had to do with settings. Print settings and some other kind of settings. But I kind of ignored it because it, didn't apply to us. So that's the only other thing. But of course, I haven't checked through, I have not done an exhaustive check about before
I
and
think
after. So.
I think there's actually a new order date field as well.
Oh,
So
a what date?
order date.
On the orders table?
Fiscal year date, sorry, on the orders table.
Oh, great.
So the orders T or something, the orders, the main table.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's where the fiscal year date is now.
Oh, so it's not just a code, it's an actual date.
Well, I don't remember whether it links to the ID for the fiscal year or it states the fiscal year, but either way, it's orders are
Okay.
assigned to fiscal years with rounds
Right.
as well,
Right. Okay, good.
as opposed to being inferred or having to go from the transactions table back to the
That's
orders
right.
table. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. The other thing just that's related to tables in your meta, making your meta, fine-tuning your MetaDB instance is we're looking at tables that we can remove from the resync synchronization process. You can do that with table excludes. And so if you're finding that your resynchronization when you move to different versions of MetaDB takes a long time, it helps to exclude these tables. And of course, you have to decide as an institution what tables can you exclude. But there are many that are there that are not needed for your day-to-day reporting. So we should do that as a topic, I think,
That
upcoming
sounds good.
meeting.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks for the suggestion. Okay, we're still looking for more representatives for the documentation working group. Anyone can join at any time. We're in between versions, so I think it's light at the moment. I could be wrong.
We did just have Corey join us, so which is great. So we do have three members, I believe, at this point. So that's pretty good. No, four. Four. I didn't count myself. But anyway, we can always use help with that because there's a lot of documentation to update, and you have to kind of sift through things to find out what's changed. So.
Yeah. Thank you. Is there anyone new this morning? Don't think there is, but if you. Okay. And now we'll move on to our main agenda, which is first of our main agendas. We have two things, but the first one is we're going to talk about the community priorities of dashboard development from the Folio Product Council. And prioritization there. And that will be followed by a demonstration by Natalia and Mark of reporting app developments at their institutions. So, and we started this discussion last week, and let me just open the request and share it to the group. Share. Are you seeing it? Oops, that's the wrong thing. Sorry, let me open the correct thing. I've never used Zoom before. Go back to there. Now I found it. Let me share it directly. Everyone seeing this? Thank you. Is it big enough? Let me ask. I'm just going down here to the reporting. And Based on the discussion we had last week, we moved the increased support for data privacy into priority number one, with the data array extraction being priority number two. And I don't think we added anything else. And the LISAP, I'm not certain if that's there, because I think there are relationships here at least. Yeah. We were going to follow up with them, and we have not yet. Is there anything anyone would like to add to this? We're really trying to make sure there are priorities in terms of development of reporting. Yes, Sharon?
It might be good just to mention that we did, switch the priorities per your suggestion, Joanne, just to focus on data privacy first as priority one, and data extraction is the second priority now. So, if anyone has, thoughts about that, please let us know. But we're just proceeding forward because it seemed like that was the consensus at the last meeting.
Any other areas we should be focusing on? Well, given that we've settled on at least two, we'll let this stand for the moment, and please come back if you have more. We can update this later. And Katie, I see you.
Sorry, I was having a hard time raising my hand.
Thank you.
I don't know. I apologize. I don't remember who brought this up, but we did discuss the permissions for the reporting app that people can just use the reporting app instead of can build queries and have access. But then it was, in addition, it was brought up that we were kind of looking for the functionality, like the list app, whatever apps you have access to, that's the only report you have access to, or those tables related to it that you have access to. And has a Jira actually been created for that, or is it added to the other one?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think we need a little more granularity on that. Because it's hard to there are folio permissions, and there are permissions for MetaDB and permissions for reporting app within folio. So I wanted to bring that to our data privacy group that just formed. But if you'd like, I can reach out to you on Slack after the meeting and maybe talk to you more about what you were hoping for. I do have a ticket in to create a permission for a reporting app user role. And I think you can create one. We've been kind of going back and forth with the development team. You can create a reporting app user role, we think, but it's we just haven't gotten there with our testing, and we're not sure if that needs to be developed or just needs to be documented. But as far as aligning, I think we just need to document more clearly what is desired for reporting app permissions and alignment with Folio permissions, because with reporting app, with Folio, you're giving people access to certain areas of functionality in Folio. With reporting app, you're giving people access to run a report on your MetaDB environment. So it's and then th those tables, what the reporting app user has access to there is, or what's been turned on or off for MetaDB, is another thing. So anyway, sorry. I hope that maybe I could reach out to you afterwards. Would that work, Katie?
Yeah, no, I understand that it works differently, that it's dealing with MetaDB permissions, but I just wanted to, I know someone already mentioned it and that's one of our concerns as well with giving apps. Well, the big thing with the reporting app is you can only export 1,000 records right now. That should be corrected with Sunflower. But that's another one. And how we would kind of limit access to the reporting app. We wouldn't want to give it out to everyone, just like when the list ass happened, we don't want acquisitions data open to everyone and user data open to everyone. So I just, yeah, just that's a concern of ours too. So.
I'm sorry, just going back to the reporting app, you said what people are only have access to what?
Oh no, I've just, we don't want people that just say that deal with collection development type things to not have access to user data. We just want some kind of functionality.
Oh, okay.
So yeah,
Data privacy. Okay. Yeah.
yeah. But I understand that it works differently because you're running it through MetaDB and you have to deal with MetaDB permissions, but it's just I just wanted, that there's another institution that also has that concerns because I know it's already been brought up. So.
Thank you. Yes, and thank you for the further information. Yeah, so just guaranteeing data privacy within the reporting app use. Yeah, let me see if I can get a good description from you afterwards, and then if you're okay with that, I'd like to bring that also to our data privacy subgroup, and because all of these things sort of relate to each other.
Thanks.
Thank you, and I think we'll move on then. And let's see, Jen.
Oh yeah, one last question. Because I saw on the agenda a question about in-app reports. So, and I know this group doesn't really handle that in any shape or form, but there are a lot of reports being developed for different apps. And I think one thing that, I think users are confused about is like, where do they go to, get the reporting needs set? And I know we have, sorry, the page, What is Reporting? But I don't know if we've really laid out, like, if you need this and you don't have access to Y, this is what you need to do. And I was wondering if this is something that would be helpful for people. Either way, I mean, I can bring it up in List App as well. So I'm just, yeah, I guess that's a question. Would that be helpful? Is that something we need to do, or is this something maybe for List App to do?
I think it's really helpful because I think it's unrelated to List App per se. It's because these are in-app reports happening. And I also see Corey's hand. I'll finish up here quickly. I think that we've been trying to maintain, and there's already a list happening on reporting, and I think Corey's actually doing the updating of the in-app reports. But so I will let her speak now, and
You said exactly what I was going to say, Scott. And Jennifer, it's you just let me right in. I've actually been working on it this morning. I started to expand the in-app section of the what is reporting on the reporting SIG documentation, and I actually broke it out into two pieces this morning about which ones allow you to do the filter and export, and then the in-app reports. And I'm actually trying to list them out. So if you look at the wiki today, literally an hour ago, I did some updating and been trying to see if I can actually list them out a little bit more. So agreed.
Thank you, Corey.
Yeah, that's really great information. Yeah, because I think I know from other groups that I'm on, because at my institution we don't have MetaDB and we're not going to get MetaDB. So, we've been forced to kind of go to other groups to kind of get our reporting. So we've requested reporting like in data import, even we use bulk edit for reporting. I know that inventory, does a bit of that with, export, especially of search results and all that. But yeah, so this is a really great list. Thank you.
And Sharon.
Yes, another shameless self-promotion. One of the things that we're trying to do in our two presentations, one of training and then the other presentation on reporting for WolfCon this year, Jennifer, is to help people navigate the reporting landscape, which has become broader, and to help them, find the right tool for what they need to do.
Yeah, I think as we all know, it's kind of like a distributed model. I'm not sure if that works or not, but that's what it's become. So, but it does make it very difficult, I as you know, to kind of try and document all this because there's just so much going on.
And Mark?
On the in-app reports, there's something I think that goes almost across the board with most of them, and I don't know if that needs to be raised here or in the groups that are responsible for the apps themselves. Just in terms of export, the reports generally have like all inclusive options for export, and many of the columns are not needed by the person using the report. So if there were a way to toggle on and off the columns from the export, it would make it much easier for the practitioners to use the reports. And so that's just like a general enhancement that would help in-app reports, but it's not clear to me like where to raise that concern.
And I would say I find the in-app reports are being developed in silos, and they're not all consistent. They're pretty consistent, but they're not completely consistent in how they display data and what they do with it. And I think it'd be so I'm not certain where that goes. I think maybe that is a cross-app say discussion with where we could express our concerns and what our goals are. And I also want to, Jen, I see your have your hand up. So.
Yeah, no, I you took the words right out of my mouth. I mean it is being done in silos, the different development teams that are maybe not talking to each other. Like the orders app, I think you can select the fields that you want to export, but in others you don't have that. So I'm wondering, I can bring this up in product council. Obviously, to see if we can find more consistency, because that, even though we're dealing with microservices, we still want some sort of consistency as a, to make a portfolio as holistic as possible. And I can also bring it up in the cross app. So I'll do that. I'm not sure if, at least there'll be a Jira issue, that we'll get to in several years.
Thanks, Jen and Mark. Anything else on this topic? And now I'd like to invite Natalia. for a brief presentation on Cornell's implementation of the reporting app. And then that will be followed by Mark at Lehigh.
Sharon, do you want to talk about the settings first, or?
Sure. I can talk about the back end if you want. So, yeah, sure. I'll quickly cover the setup and then have Natalia go through the report that she developed that we're now delivering in the reporting app. Just a second, I need to just get to that page. We can show you what we've got cooking here. I'll just go in there now. Okay, let me get zoom. Go. Okay, so just the front end of the reporting app is this side. So Natalia will go through that. Before you start using reporting app, you need to get familiar with the settings and work with your MetaDB hosting provider or your sysadmins if you're hosting it yourselves. And you want to just take a look at settings and reporting and go through these various settings. You can see the default record limits on what to show for the export functionality. So those can be manipulated if you want to. I mean, they're set pretty high with the highest setting. And if you want to make that lower for whatever reason, you can. If you have, you can also set what tables to disable in your reporting app. By default, all the tables are enabled so that people can use them for querying. What we have been talking about is looking at particular tables like the users table and disabling them so that people can't get patron identifiers. But of course, you want to test that before you disable any table access to make sure that that isn't causing problems with whatever report you're delivering. Database configuration involves a pointer to your MetaDB environment, which you'll just include here in the database URL. And then you'll need to have what's advised in the MetaDB documentation is to have a reporting user role that enables you to, you know, write to the proper directories to run that the reporting app will use in order to run that report. So whatever permissions you give, we call ours Z underscore reporting, whatever permissions you give to that role will be you know in active in your MetaDB environment. So here, if you want to change the role, say you're in MetaDB 1.4 by limiting access to different schemas and tables, you could ostensibly do that. So database configuration. So you need to just get that set up. And then the last thing is to set up your access to your report repository because the reports are going to be sitting on your report repository. So we have a directory on ours for the reporting app where our reports sit. And what our Folio environment is doing is grabbing that code from our GitHub and running it on our MetaDB environment from within Folio. So you just need to set that up, you know, whatever GitHub repository you're using locally at your institution, to point to the right place. And of course, you want to test that. And Natalia can explain the actual contents of the reports and so on. So I'll let you take it from there.
Can you see my GitHub now?
We see you pointing. Yes, now.
Yep. Okay. Thank you. So little bit of a history why we jumped on reporting app and list app. Because with the Remsense upgrade, we had to drop Lehigh app, and Cornell used to load the purchase orders with the Lehigh app, and the Lehigh app. When you load the purchase, will give you the nice report that will describe like all the basically pull the data from Mark, saying whether it's a new copy or second copy, if it's a rush order, if the order has serious statement, as well as public key, publisher and publication dates. And for our ordering people, that information is crucial because they go through the process. They decide whether to change the vendor, whether to, order it from Amazon or order it from a regular vendor. So that presented dropping the Lehigh app presented the challenges for both data import and the reporting part of it. So for that reason, we decided that we actually have to look at the reporting app and create some reports for the workflows that they do, because we never know when they're going to be finished, how many orders they have. So we couldn't just run the report for them and put it in a box, for example. Sorry. Put it in a box. And so the first report where we created was a report that uses Mark data, and the report needs to be in function to be rewritten with the function in order to use it in the reporting app. And Nasip had created functions and gave us an examples long time ago. It also needs a JSON file in order for the report to, have a criteria, dates, if we need dates. And so on. So, like, build report part is very simple. It uses for now only one schema, but with main table and transform tables. So again, same as MetaDB, you can use the data fields from main table or from transform table. You can add multiple filters, but again, within one schema. Choose what columns you want to see in your report, limit number of results as well. Submit the report and you can export it in CSV. The load report option, you can reuse the same report that you've created before, just with a different criteria. And run the report is obviously the custom reports that were placed in GitHub repository. So this is our report. We can run it for this time period for August, for example. It does take a minute, and it's very hard to know whether it's running or not because there are no indications. So this one run very quick, but if it takes another 10 seconds, you sort of start panicking, like, oh, where's my report? So anyways, this is a report that shows, Mark fields, PO line number, PO created date, instance HRID series, and the vendors that we are ordering it. So for the ordering people, the series statement is important here because we still have some standing orders that we are doing. So we will, grab the series statement, run it in inventory, see if there is another Standing order is against this serious statement and whether it's coming or not. So basically, between two apps, we were able to figure that, reporting part. But if also the lists app can, lists app developers can move all the data from instances. And if I do the new report here, and I wait, if they can move additional fields from instances and include instance serious statement, then we probably would be able to just get away with list reports, lists app, and not use the reporting app. When we were working on the reporting app, we did have a few glitches, and Sharon did her magic behind the scenes, and we tested in test system, and then we moved to production. And also in tests, we also created another Git repository called test or reporting app development. So we just were double cautious that, everything is working the way we wanted to work. One of the glitches were like the report had some, this SQL had some problems. The JSON file had some, descriptive fields were not in the same format as they were supposed to. But we also, I think we don't know what the limit for the reporting app is and if there is a limit for the custom reports. But it seemed like we had two reports and we placed the third report and it didn't show up. But we also didn't, investigate it through the end whether it was our problem or it was really the limit of the amount of custom reports we can put in a reporting app. So this is sort of my brief description of what we are doing and what we were able to do for the latest upgrade. If you have any questions, I'm more than willing to answer if I can.
Thank you, Natalia.
Sure.
Are there any questions?
Eliana had a comment in the chat that columns are in alpha order by default, and she couldn't control how the columns were ordered. Yeah, and I wonder if there's some magic that one could do with the JSON file to change that, or the report itself. Not
Well,
sure.
Mark reports that it's fixed in an upcoming release.
Oh, okay. Yay. Oh, nice. So Sunflower? Probably Sunflower. That's great.
Yeah, I think it's Sunflower. Just looking for the let's see, enhancements to the reporting app. Reporting app columns are out of order when using run report. It's mod report dash 31, and it says Trillium.
Oh, Trillium. Okay.
Are there any other questions for Natalia at this point? Then back to Mark.
I know we have did we have another person who's going to?
Yes. That
I
would be
just
that's Mark.
Mark, yeah, Mark, when you're ready, just one thing is that when you just a note that I forgot when I was going through the back end. You need to run the report as a reporting app user to create that function in your MetaDB environment before it, you enable the report. So just a last step. So I believe that we're going to have more comprehensive documentation on that soon. So because we have people stepping forward to write more documentation on a reporting app. So more information coming.
Karen, on that setup that you showed for the allowed tables or whatever the setting was, does that impact Query Builder or also the saved reports?
I haven't tested it to see, but my assumption is that it impacts everything that the reporting app handles. So build query, load query, run report. But I haven't tested it to verify that. So we would have to ask Index Data. I don't know if there's anyone here from Index Data who might know. No. So yeah, we would have to ask. For sure.
Right. Well, I'll walk through a few notes about our use of the reporting app and Query Builder. We don't use very much because at this point it doesn't allow table joins. But in terms of saved reports, my team, which is Resource Access, we've started to really build up our use of saved reports this year. And the main function that we really like is that it empowers our staff to be able to run the saved reports that we've built and export their own data as they need it for various purposes. And you can sort of see from some of the display names of these reports that we're using saved reports, some operational to support our workflows. For example, bursar billing, circulation reports that we need to gather. And then this summer we've been involved in a shelf reading report and to support that project we've started to build up some reports that are able to grab on a field on some tables that show, let's see, a statistical code, for example, we created a statistical code shelf reading 2025, and so in order to be able to base a report on whether or not that code is present in a record, we have to have the functionality of table joins. Let's see what else. Other things from the inventory, things that are found to be missing in the inventory, and then they need follow-up from staff. We've been able to, let me just run one of these missing and needs to be searched. And let's see, if you look at the query itself, it's utilizing a note type name of workflow missing search that we created. And it helps us to be able to track our staff actions on those issues. There's a new need that just realized last week that I have to create another follow-up workflow for items that we found on the shelf through the shelf reading, but we weren't really expecting to find them because they had been previously withdrawn, or they were listed as in transit or on shelf for a hold, things like that. So it's another opportunity for us to just be able to focus on some of the aftermath of the shelf reading. Some of the challenges that we've had from our use of the reporting app, back to the list. You can see that just even managing the list itself is a bit of a challenge because we can't filter the list by like object entity type or so there's no real organization to the list other than what we've sort of artificially imposed by just choosing names that sort of make the reports filter on kind of a list. Then the other challenge, which was brought up before, is that more or less at this point, if you have access to the reporting app, then you have the ability to both use the query builder to query any of the schemas and any of the tables. But then also, you can run any of the saved reports. So the whole issue of access is something that we'd like to see addressed, so that we can have the ease of staff running their own reports. But if we need to shadow sensitive data, that we're able to do that as well. Generally, also in terms of challenges, I find that it's always good to check your code in MetaDB, make sure that your SQL is rendering correctly, because if you're trying to troubleshoot code in the reporting app, you're in for trouble because I believe there's a residual like caching issue with GitHub, where you may make a change in the code in GitHub, but it doesn't immediately propagate, and you can see that changes that you've made aren't being reflected. And sometimes if it's creating an error, if you have an error in your code somewhere, you're not getting helpful messages. And it can make it difficult to troubleshoot. But I think on the list there's also an enhancement for the caching issue. I can't find it right now, but let's see. Mentioned that the order of the fields is output alphabetical and it ignores your code. What else can I show you? Here is here's a report that lists our consortial borrowing, and it includes the pub data and what else? We've got contributor. It's reaching out to a contributor table. Instance publication. It's also going to a group table in order to be able to return on the report the name of the group that made the request. So all kinds of table complexities that we're not able to handle in lists at this point. And so the reporting tool has been good for many of our projects. And so I'll just offer too that Lehi is presenting at WolfCon on reporting, and other we've got other presentations as well. But we're hoping in our presentation to include more information about some of the projects that we've been doing and the way that we're using reports to support that. Sharon, go ahead with your question or your comment.
Yeah, I just wondered if you've had any trouble with reporting app reports being run by users and impacting Folio production performance. Like, how have you had to manage that, or has it been just running and not impacting things?
I'm not aware of those type of issues. Since we're able to test the SQL before we build the reports, I think we're confident that the report runs efficiently. I don't know in terms of metadata management if they're dealing with larger record sets. And Vanessa, do you have any insight into that?
I haven't heard about any performance impacts. And as far as
That's
metadata
great.
services goes, I don't think they are currently using much of the reporting app. I think they're going into MetaDB and running reports as needed and extracting it from there. So.
Yeah. So we'll be presenting in the fall. We hope to be focused more on the projects that we're using reports for. And I just have to say too that we're very grateful to all the sites that have shared their reports and made their repositories available because we're kind of in the, at least I'm in the beg, borrow, and steal sort of mode. And if I can see a report that works, then I can sort of modify it and make it work for our purposes. But it's immensely helpful for people to share their reports and also just the reporting SIG has been a great help to us this year. So that's all that I have at this time.
Thank you, Mark. Are there any questions?
I actually do have a question. So I thought of another one, Mark. Do you have a good role for access to the reporting app for your users? Do you have just like one role or do you have multiple roles? How are you handling security for reporting app?
Let's see. So I know we're using permission sets for various teams. Generally, the managers have access to build reports in GitHub. But I don't manage the permissions, so I can't really speak to that.
Hi, Mark. This is Katie from the University of Missouri. We've been playing around with a reporting app, and what we found, and probably the people that we've been playing around are not SQL experts, and that's probably part of the problem. But we, if it's a easy SQL query, we get it working, but if it's anything more complicated, it seems like it breaks. Is there any kind of, it might just be that we just don't know SQL that well, but are there any
It
tips?
breaks in the reporting app.
Yes, it does. It runs
Okay.
fine on MetaDB, but then it breaks in the reporting app.
That can be tough. As I say, I very carefully, I took a report that one of our team members had built, and I sort of adjusted it carefully for my purposes, and then trial and error, and I think I either Cornell or Chicago, I borrowed one of their reports and started to hack it a little bit and use it for our purposes. Yeah, it's a lot of trial and error, but the downside of the GitHub environment is it's kind of unforgiving. It's not giving you real helpful messages, and there's this little bit of a latency of a caching where you make a change and it's not reflected immediately. I have to say, I have made some progress using some AI tools to troubleshoot error messages, and as I say, we're beg, borrow, and steal, so we'll do whatever we can do to make things run. And I've gotten help with AI when I need to. I'll ask people from our technology team for help, and but I think if you were to, even bring an erroring report to the SIG, that you'd probably get some good advice either in Slack or at the meeting.
Thank you for bringing up the caching issue. That might be part of the problem too, and we weren't aware of that. So yeah, we'll keep going, and I probably will steal from you
Okay.
future too. Thanks.
Sure.
Katie, I was just going to say you can always put a note on Folio metadata general to see if one of the DevOps from Index Data can help. We've had trouble with reports showing a reporting app as well. And of course, you have to write it as a function, and then you have to make sure the function is on your MetaDB environment and it's using the function. So the setup is hard. And then with the caching issue, you can't tell if it fixed it or not. If you change it, it is more challenging, yeah.
Well, thank you, everyone, and thanks to our presenters. It's almost on the hour. So until next week, or actually, we're off for the next 2 weeks, I should remind you, and we resume on the 8th of September. Thank you, and enjoy your day.
Thanks, Scott. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.